This week, we're going to finish our God, Love, Sex series, and we're going to kick that off in Song of Solomon chapter 2. Song of Solomon chapter 2 in Proverbs 23. I'm going to read these couple of scriptures, and then we're going to pray. You guys ready to get to it today? You guys ready to get to it today? Let's go. Song of Solomon chapter 2, verse 7 says this, "Promise me, O women of Jerusalem, by the gazelles and wild deer, not to awaken love." Not to awaken love until the time is right. I want to also read Proverbs 4:23. This is going to kind of serve as a foundation for what I want to talk about today. Proverbs 4:23. "Guard your heart above all else." Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. "Do not awaken love until it desires." Guard your heart above all else. In this series finale here of our God, Love, and Sex series, I want to talk about this idea of guarding hearts and dropping stones. Everybody say, guarding hearts and dropping stones. Say it again, guarding hearts and dropping stones. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for this time. We thank you for this moment that we have today, God. And I ask you, Holy Spirit, to just continue to move as you have through the worship. Continue to meet with us and speak to us, God. Let your word come alive on the inside of our spirit. Speak to us exactly what you want us to hear, what you want us to see, and everything that entails today, Lord, I pray. I pray, God, that we would not just have a nice lesson in these few moments together, God, but that we would have an encounter with you. Even now, Holy Spirit, I think that you are moving through the camera. You are moving in living rooms. You are moving through these seats, Lord. And you are sitting down with each and every one of us and speaking to us in a very personal, real, and intimate way. God, I ask you to do that in Jesus' name. Bless the offering that's been given. Bless that as it gives. Father God, let it be multiplied, God, for every need and every mission and vision that you've put before us, God, to accomplish the mission of your kingdom in this community, Father. In Jesus' name, we pray. Put your hand on your brother right now. Just read this after me, everybody. At home, do it too. Don't cop out at home. Come on, let's go. Say, "Jesus, speak to me today. Open up my eyes. Open up my ears. Let me see what you want me to see. Let me hear what you want me to hear, so I can do what you want me to do and be everything you've called me to be. In Jesus' name, amen." Amen. I want to share this quick. There was a very powerful and poignant movie that really influenced me and changed my life as a kid. And I want to share a clip of that movie to set up what I want to talk about today, guarding hearts and dropping stones. Enjoy this little clip from the 1980s very wonderful film, The Karate Kid.
Sensei, turn, kneel.
It's Johnny, you're a cream puff.
Sweep the leg. You have a problem with that?
No, Sensei.
No mercy.
LaRusso, Lawrence, nothing. Ready?
Fight!
If there's any more devilish character in all of the world than John Kreese telling Johnny Lawrence, to sweep the leg at the end of The Karate Kid. That movie impacted me greatly. I could quote it at the time. By the time I was 10 years old, probably every line verbatim for a while. And hey, this has nothing to do with my message, but if you want to have your mind blown today, go home after lunch and go get on YouTube and just search "Daniel was the bully." Just find that video, "Daniel was the bully." It'll really open your mind up and let you see some things. Anyway, that's neither here nor there. But so when I watch that, man, we talk about guarding hearts. When we talk about guarding hearts, these scriptures that we read, Song of Solomon, do not awaken love until it desires, until the time is right. Guard your hearts above all else because it determines the direction and the course of your life. When we talk about our human frailty and the sin that we are all born with and that exists in our lives that Jesus saves us from and died to deliver us from, yet there's still so many things that have to be made new and be redeemed. And the area of our sex lives and relationships and romance and love, that is an area in our lives that the enemy has used time and time and time again to destroy both sons and daughters of God and people in the world alike. Amen, somebody? And so we don't have to look too far. We could all think of a million stories of where an affair happened and destroyed a life and a family and a relationship, both in the house of God and outside of the house of God. We all know stories like that. And the reason why the enemy attacks that area is because it's very obvious that it is a very simple weakness to attack God's people, God's creation. That's you and me, sons and daughters of God. Amen, somebody? In fact, I think a lot of times without God's help and without being intentional, if we're not careful and if we don't take some of these scriptures seriously and if we don't understand what God's design is in love and sex and lives, then what we are is we are Daniel LaRusso on a bum leg and we've got a weakness hanging out there and the enemy is just constantly saying, sweep the leg, sweep the leg, sweep the leg, sweep the leg. Why? Because it is an easy weakness to target in our lives. Here's the deal. Listen to me. Our weaknesses, yours and mine, they are usually very obvious, not only to the people that know us, but also to the enemy of your soul who wants nothing but to steal, to kill, and destroy your life. Amen, somebody? Your weaknesses, I don't care how good you might think you are at hiding them. I don't care how, listen, when you begin to talk to people and if you ever get into an honest conversation, I found out this, that if you ever get into a real honest conversation with someone that knows you and that you guys are kind of, you know, holding each other accountable and really talking about things, you'll find out that the thing that you think you've got under control, everybody sees it. Everybody knows. Everybody knows you struggle with it. Everybody can see it. And you're like, man, I didn't know I was that obvious. Yeah, your weaknesses are obvious. You're walking around on a bum leg like this, and it's easy to say, sweep the leg. And here's what you need to understand. Listen to me. The enemy attacks your weakness. Amen? An enemy attacks your weakness, and here's how the enemy attacks. The enemy attacks your weakness with temptation. Okay? Everybody say temptation. James chapter 1, verse 15. It's not going to be on the screen, but it says that temptation is born within us. It provides an opportunity, and temptation gives birth to sin, and it is sin that gives birth to death. But I want you to understand something real carefully. Now, listen to me close. Don't miss this. Temptation alone, okay? You follow me? Being tempted is not a sin. We talked about this last week a little bit, but I'm going to put it on the screen. Being tempted is not a sin. Acting on it is. Amen? Okay? Now, the Bible is very clear. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 tells us this. It says that there is no temptation. I'll give you the King James because it's the one I remember sometimes. There's no temptation that is not common to man. Meaning that whatever you go through, all mankind has been tempted by those things. Amen? And the reason that the enemy understands that this area is a weakness of ours is not because he is all-knowing, not because he is all-powerful, not because he knows more than God, certainly, but here's the advantage, and it's not because he's even more powerful. You know, the Bible says, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Do you know that because of Jesus, if Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, is alive on the inside of us, the Word of God declares that we have more power through Christ in us than the temptation and the sin that is in the world? Amen, somebody? Now, about one or two of you amen like you really believe that. The rest are like, okay, I'll amen because I know it's in the Bible and we don't. Listen, I dare you to look at somebody around you and tell them there's more in you than you know. Tell them right now, there's more in you than you know. I'm talking to you right there, Gina. Listen to me. You have more power than the enemy. You have more power than the sin that is tempting you through Christ. Amen. So it's not that the enemy is any more powerful even than we are in Jesus. The advantage that he has is that our enemy, the enemy of our soul, has observed humanity and observed God's creation from the beginning and has seen time and time again from Adam and Eve all the way down to 2023 what it is that we are tripped up by and where our weaknesses are. And he's understood and become very clever and understands how to attack us at our weakest point. And he does that through temptation, and he will often do that in the area. And listen, I know we talked real heavy about physical stuff, about intimacy and sex last week. But listen, don't get it twisted, and don't think that you can't get tripped up with love and emotions and relationships just like you can with sex. Amen, somebody? They're two sides of the same coin. They might have to be handled a little differently. One might be a little more obvious than the other. Obviously, there are different consequences and different ramifications in how we have to deal with that. But listen, the enemy can trip you up and tie you up and get you in bondage through emotional attachments and through relationships that are supposed to, that you think you're in love and all this, and just as much as he can with sexual sin and all that. Amen, somebody? Okay? And so, Tim, but I want you to understand clearly, listen, the enemy attacks with temptation, but don't think for a second, just because you've been tempted doesn't mean that you've sinned. Amen? And just because you are able to be tempted in a certain way, don't think for a second that that means that you're not a Christian, that God doesn't love you, that you're not full of the Holy Spirit, that he's not living on the inside of you. Why? Because temptation is not a sin. We're all tempted. Amen? I had a Bible college professor one time that said it like this. He said, hey, God saved me, but he didn't blind me. Amen? Amen? If God wants me to not have any, even the ability or the idea to be tempted at all, he's going to have to blind me. Amen? And probably going to have to make me deaf too. You know what I'm saying? Okay? So temptation is not a sin. And I think there's sometimes... I know I've struggled with this sometimes in my life, especially early in my walk with Jesus, man, where I used to get so down on myself and beat myself up just because I was tempted. And I used to have this idea that I thought, man, God, if I really loved Jesus, if I was really on fire for God, I wouldn't even be tempted by this stuff. And it came to a place one time, well, listen, and if the enemy can get me down in shame and guilt and condemnation just by tempting me and I'm not even acting on those temptations, well, he's already won. Amen? So I want to be very clear, temptation in any way, we're talking specifically about love and sex and that kind of, but in any way, temptation itself is not a sin. Wanting to do something that you know is harmful to your life and not God's plan for your life, that's not a sin. It's when I go and do it that it's a sin, okay? Amen? Now, we can talk a little bit about how to deal with that, but here's the main thing I want to understand about, so the enemy attacks our weakness with temptation. But the other side of that is this. Listen, Jesus, where the enemy attacks our weakness with temptation, Jesus strengthens our weaknesses with boundaries. Amen? Let me say it again. The enemy attacks our weakness with temptation. Jesus will strengthen our weaknesses with boundaries. Boundaries serve to strengthen areas where we find ourselves tempted. Amen? And so the way that Jesus will strengthen, and if we want to find strength in the area of our weaknesses, if we want to not expose that weak leg and have an easy target for the enemy to hit, then the way to do that ultimately is to ultimately surrender to Jesus every day, every moment of my life. And surrendering to Jesus means surrendering to the boundaries that we've been talking about so that I don't have an easy target for the enemy to pick on. Amen, somebody? The enemy attacks with temptation. Jesus strengthens where we're weak with boundaries. Boundaries strengthen areas where we find ourselves tempted. So for a few seconds, for a few minutes, for a few hours, no, a few minutes, I want to talk about some boundaries that can help strengthen our weak areas. And this is going to be super practical, not incredibly spiritual. In fact, always, I'm not even going to give you a chapter verse reference. I just want to talk about a few practical boundaries we can have to help do what the scripture says. This is about guarding our hearts. Amen? Everybody say, I'm guarding my heart. Guarding hearts, okay? The first boundary I've got to have is this. Whether we're talking about sexual stuff, sexual temptation, relationship, love, temptation, or anywhere in between, the first thing I need to do is this. Just one more caveat here. Again, let's go all the way back to week one. These are all ideas to help us if our heart and our the prayer of our life and the heart's cry is that God is on top, God is in charge, God is number one. God, love, sex, that's the order it's supposed to be in. Now, if that's not a concern of yours, these may not be very helpful. If that is what you want, okay? So I want you to understand the perspective in which we're giving these boundaries. Amen? So everything falls under, this is some ideas to help us keep God in the mix and God on top. Some boundaries. Here we go. The first thing is this. Let me start here. It is a mistake, I believe, this is just my opinion, it is a mistake, I think, to wait until you're in a situation when you're tempted to decide whether or not you're going to give in to that temptation. Amen? It is a mistake to decide, let me just give an example outside of this. If you're going out to hang out with your friends, maybe you're going to celebrate a birthday party, maybe you're going to celebrate an anniversary or a wedding, it is a mistake to decide when you get there how much you're going to have to drink that night. You know what I mean? Because once you start celebrating, once you start having a good time, once you start eating, you know what I mean? You might, once the decision, it's time to make a decision, well, now you're already caught up in the moment. Now you're already caught up in the fun. And you're like, you know what? Tonight, I'm going to get real loose and get real crunk and just blow this thing out. Amen? You know what a better idea would be? A better idea would be to pre-side before you go, this is the limit that I'm setting for myself tonight. Amen? It's a dangerous thing for Justin Bradley to decide how many plates I'm going to have at the Chinese buffet when I get there. You know what I mean? If I wait to decide until I get there, well, the problem is, like, on plate one, I can't fit all the things that I want to taste and enjoy. So I got to go back for plate two. You know what I'm saying? And then after plate two, I'm like, ah, you know what? That other thing was pretty good, and this wasn't as good, so I'm going back. And you know what? A better idea would be to pre-side and say, before I even get there, this is the amount that I'm going to have, and I'm going to make sure that everything I get fits in that amount. And after that, I'm going to do my best to cut myself off. Amen? You understand what I'm saying? And you still might, listen, even with the precision, I'm making up words. Precision's a word, but it's not how I mean it. You know what I mean. Even with a predetermined decision, you get it. Even then, you might decide, find yourself moving that boundary. But you know what? If I go in and I haven't made a decision already, I am more apt to lose control and to do more and to go further and to have more and to imbibe more, whatever, than I really want to, need to, or that is healthy for my life. Amen, somebody? And so, especially in these areas of relationships and sex, listen, you know what I need to do? If I want to be successful there, a great boundary and idea is this. I need to pre-side. I need to decide where my limits are, what God has called me to, what God is asking me to do, where my relationship with Jesus is leading me to. And I need to determine, let that determine and pre-side for me where my boundaries are in these areas. Amen? So listen, if you are a married person, you have a husband, you have a wife, then you need to pre-side together and in yourself, listen, especially together, you need to pre-side what are acceptable interactions and what is an acceptable level of a relationship with someone of the opposite sex between you and your spouse. You need to pre-side that. Because if you wait until an opportunity comes along and you're trying to decide what's right, what's wrong, then you're already going to be behind the game and you're already going to have your legs swept. I hate to tell you, there's a good chance of that. So I need to pre-side. You know what? For the health of my marriage, direction for the relationship that I believe God has brought into my life, and I want to make this thing work and let this thing glorify God, I need to have a pre-decided idea of what those acceptable interactions are going to be. Amen? I'm not gonna go have coffee with someone of the opposite sex that's not my wife and just hang out. I'm not gonna go have dinner with somebody. I'm not gonna have DMs between somebody that my wife at least doesn't know about and have access to. Come on, somebody. Those are the, now I'm just telling you some ideas. You have to decide that for yourself. All of those are probably really good ones. I would, if you asked me what I think would be good. We can talk about that for the rest of our time. Okay? If you're single and you're not married yet, you need to pre-decide and determine before you ever even go on a date with somebody, before you ever answer that dating app email. I don't know how that works. That was way I was married before any of that stuff came out. So sorry. But you need to decide, listen, you need to decide, you need to pre-decide before there's ever even an opportunity, not only how far you're willing to go physically, which that boundary should be determined by Scripture. Amen. Hebrews 13:4, keep the marriage bed pure and honor that above all. Hello, somebody. Okay? Talked about that last week. I'm not going to recap that. We also need to pre-decide and determine before you ever even go on a date, how much love, how much of my heart, not only how much of my body, how much of my heart, how much of my emotional well-being, how much of myself am I willing to invest in a relationship before we are committed together before God? How much am I going to give away? I need to pre-decide that, because if you wait until things are running wild and the emotions are jacked up and you're getting turned on and all that's happening, guess what? If you wait till that moment to make the decision, you're not going to be in the right frame of mind mentally, spiritually, emotionally to make a God-honoring, Jesus-loving decision for the most part. Amen? Listen, I say this. It's hard enough to stick to the pre-sided thing when you haven't even really set those boundaries for yourself yet at all and had those conversations with yourself between you and the Holy Spirit, it's almost impossible to come to it once all that stuff is let loose. Amen? Okay? So pre-side. Make a pre-cision. Second boundary I might tell you I think would be healthy for us to guard our hearts and not let something awaken before it's the right time, would be this. Don't buy into the lie. Amen? What I mean is this. Talk to single folks for a second. Okay? If you're single, you're not married yet, you don't have a spouse, listen. Do not buy into the lie that everybody's doing it. Everybody lives together before they're married. This is just the way it is. This is just the world we live in. This is just how things happen. Do not buy that lie. It's not true. Everybody's not doing it. Everybody's not doing those things. Everybody is not involved. Listen, don't buy the lie. Amen, somebody? Don't buy the lie that says, well, how are you going to know if you're going to be able to do it together? And listen, hear me. You live together and you're married now, or you're living together with someone right now. I'm not here to judge you. I'm not here to condemn you. I am here to tell you what Scripture says. That's it. There's no judgment. There's no shame. I want you to find Jesus and figure all that out with him. But as much as, and here's the thing, and I shared this a little bit last week. It doesn't matter. So it makes sense. Of course it makes sense. Of course it makes sense to try it out first to see if it's good. But the thing is, just because it makes sense here doesn't mean that it's what's best for me in my heart and my soul and with God. Amen, somebody? And there are lots of things that make sense here that when you follow that down the path that it goes to, it actually turns into destruction. Come on, somebody. And so I can't allow what makes sense or feels good to change what Scripture says. Come on. That's the boundary. If God's on top, if God's in charge, okay? So don't believe the hype. Don't buy the lie that you're missing out on something. Yeah, you're missing out on, let me tell you what you're missing out on. You're missing out on heartache. You're missing out on all kinds of depression. You're missing out on all kinds of anxiety. You're missing out on fear. You're missing out on all sorts of things that you'd be fine missing out on. Come on, somebody. So don't buy the lie. Hey, married folks, don't buy the lie. Let's not buy a couple of lies. First of all, if you're married, don't buy the lie that because you're married, all of a sudden sex has to suck and it's not great anymore and it's not awesome, okay? That's a lie from the pit of hell. Amen, somebody? Okay? Don't buy the lie either that you would be doing well, much better off with someone else. That's a lie from the pit of hell. Amen? Don't buy into the lie. Set that boundary up. That lie may come. That temptation may come. That may be a sweep of the leg. You need to understand what it is. See it for what it is. Call it out and get it out of your life as soon as possible. Don't buy into the lie. Amen? Don't buy into the lie. Don't buy into the lie. Now listen, again, I'm not here to... I know that divorce happens, okay? I know that happens. It's not God's best intention. It's not God's best plan for marriage, but we understand, and I can give grace there and understand that it happens. Amen? You follow what I'm saying? It happens, okay? However, if you want to make your marriage work, don't buy the lie that if you get a divorce, all of a sudden your life will become better, become easier, or whatever else, okay? Because you're probably going to be trading in one set of problems for another one. Now, you might have to decide which set of problems is going to work out is what you want. But you follow what I'm saying? Amen? You get divorced. I remember one time when I was younger in ministry, I had a pastor. We were just talking, a group of us pastors were talking. He's an older pastor of mine. I worked on staff for him, and I'm going to say this, but we weren't like in danger of losing our marriage. And we were just chatting about life and stuff, and he just said this. He said, boys, he said, because it was me and a couple of younger pastors on staff with him. He said, just remember when your marriage gets hard. And you think that you might want to leave your wife or that you might find somebody else or whatever. He said, just imagine some other man disciplining your kids, how that would make you feel. And then ask yourself if you can hang in with whatever you're dealing with in your marriage. You know what I mean? I thought about that. I thought, you know what? That's a good point. You know what I mean? Because it's one set of, you're just trading one set of problems for another one. Don't think that if you cut... that it's just going to make everything easy and don't buy the lie. Amen, somebody? Okay, the third boundary we want to put in there, okay? The third thing is this. We got to have accountability. Accountability means I've got to have a place and I've got to have a person that I can be 100% honest with about my struggles and about my weaknesses and about my temptations. Amen? Amen? Married people. I got. It's real easy. That person is supposed to be your spouse. Amen? That person is supposed to be your spouse. Now, for some reason, you guys don't have that kind of connection right now, then you know what? That's something you probably need to try to build up to. Amen? Because the marriage covering is supposed to be, what we talked about last week, the marriage covering is the place where I can be naked without being exposed. That goes for sexual things. That goes for emotional things as well. It's supposed to be the relationship where I'm 100% safe. Why? And why does that happen? Why? Because we are 100% committed to being together forever. Amen, somebody? Which is why even in our legal system, the legal system cannot force a spouse to testify against their husband or wife. Why? Because they have at least acknowledged that there is supposed to be that one relationship above all is supposed to be their things shared there that are never ever shared outside of that relationship. Amen? Now, if for some reason you're struggling there, you're trying to get, then, and you still need a person to be accountable to. Listen to me close. The person that, if it's not your spouse and you're married, it should be someone of the same sex. Amen. Someone preferably that you can be honest with and that you allow them to be honest with you. Whether that's a very good friend, a family member, a father, a mother, whatever. But if you try to have that relationship with someone that's not your spouse and they're of the opposite sex of you, you're opening up the door for disaster. Amen? So you need to be accountable. You need to be accountable. You need to be honest and say, hey, this thing tempts me. And I know it's weird. I know it's embarrassing. I know it feels stupid or whatever else. But I need you to know that this thing is a problem with me. So if you can help me be accountable, and I go, hey, you said that this thing struggles with you, and you're taking some steps to get there. Come on, somebody. Justin, you said you wanted to lose weight, and yet you keep going to the Chinese buffet every Sunday. What are you doing? You know what I mean? That's what we're talking about. Justin, okay? Amen, somebody? Be accountable. Single people. Same rule should apply. That person should be, if they're not a parent, It should be someone of the same sex that you're a great friend with. Really, and if you're younger, I would suggest maybe looking either to your parents first, and if for whatever reason that's not an option or that's not working for you, you need to find a leader, teacher, pastor, youth pastor, whatever, someone, elder, whatever, someone that you can confide in, and probably somebody that has a little more wisdom than you. Amen? Doesn't need to be one of your boys, okay? Doesn't need to be one of your boys. So, hey, man, I'm really struggling with pornography, man. I keep pulling up websites I shouldn't pull up. And doesn't even one of your boys is going to be like, hey, have you tried this one yet? Like, that's not going to help anybody, okay? So, but you got to be accountable. You got to find someplace where you can be accountable and be honest. And guess what? Somewhere where you can talk about the things, your knee that's bothering you, your leg that's getting swept all the time. And I hate to just keep bringing up stuff we've already talked about. But again, what I refuse to expose to the light, I empower in the dark. Often the this kind of stuff that has a hold on us is because we try to keep it inside to ourselves and we don't ever talk about it and we don't ever have a place to expose it. Amen? And so it just continues to grow. So I got to have a relationship where I can be accountable. That's a boundary that helps strengthen weak areas. Okay? 4, 5, and 6, I'm going to go through all real quick. Okay? And here's what we do. I want to guard my eyes, number 4. Guard my eyes. Amen? Guard your eyes. This means websites. This means phones. This means books. Hey. I know men get picked on a lot for porn, right? Because God created us to be a lot of visual creatures, and that's what we go for, and it's the low-hanging fruit, and it's easy. I know women struggle with that in that area too, but the numbers suggest that for the most, but hey, ladies, if you're filling your mind with Harlequin romance novels and Lifetime movies that are creating, guess what you're doing? The same as porn creates an unrealistic expectation of what actually sex is. Guess what? Those books also, and movies, those things also create an unrealistic expectation of what a real loving relationship is day in and day out, because those books will tell you that you are waiting for a knight in shining armor to show up and be the most amazing man who lays out rose petals leading up the stairway to the bedroom every single day and never disagrees and blah, 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 blah. And you're looking for the guy who's standing outside your window with a boombox or whatever that stupid 80s movie was with John Cusack. I can't remember. See, he's struggling right now. I'm just kidding. But I'm not saying those things are a sin. I'm not. You watch the movies, read. But you need to understand if you don't have enough wherewithal to understand that this is complete fantasy and this is not the real world. This is not real life. You cannot let that thing, romance porn is what I call it. You can't let that thing create. And you wait, because that's never going to show up. That's never going to show up. Amen. And if it does show up once in a while, it's certainly not every day. That's just not realistic. Come on, somebody. Okay? So guard your eyes. Guard what you're looking at. Put safeguards in place. I keep a content blocker on my phone. I have content blocked out. Okay? Now, is that 100% safeguard? No, because I know the password. Okay? Here's what it does do. I feel like if it was really a problem, I would probably just tell Luann to put the password in and then I wouldn't even have it. But it's not really that big of a struggle. I've tempted its core. But what it does create for me is at least it creates one more roadblock to it. If I'm having a moment of weakness and the enemy's sweeping my leg and I'm going, let's whatever. Guess what? I've at least got to go through one more barrier and give me one more opportunity to say, okay, Holy Spirit, let's check that. Let's surrender that. Amen, somebody? So do whatever you've got to do. Jesus said, if your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. If your eye causes you to sin, cut it off. Hey, some of you guys might be struggling, and this may be really wild and out there. Some of you may need to get rid of your smartphone if you can't handle it. Get a Cricket. Get what your grandpa has. I don't know, get whatever works. Get something that's not going to make it easy for you to fall to that temptation if you're struggling with that. Guard your eyes. Amen? Guard your eyes. If there are certain songs, certain television shows, certain pick whatever, guard your eyes. Come on, somebody. Some of you need to, and here's the thing. You don't even have to go searching for hardcore pornography or whatever, because with social media, if you're on Facebook, especially if you're on Instagram, if you've clicked on a couple of things that you shouldn't have clicked on, guess what? The algorithm is going to pump that into your feed, and it's going to be a nonstop cycle that you're going to have a real struggle with. Some of us need to pray, God, change my algorithm. Amen? And guess what? You can change it. Search cats for a week and just click on all the cat videos you can. I know that's silly. I guarantee you your algorithm will change in a couple of days. And instead of seeing scantily clad women that's causing you to think thoughts you shouldn't think and click on links that you don't need to click on, you'll just start seeing a bunch of crazy cat videos. Maybe not cats, something. I don't care. Whatever you want to click. Change it. Raccoons. Okay. That's weird. That's a weird animal to like. You want a raccoon for a pet? You can't have raccoons for many things like snakes, man. They'll turn on you, dog. You're going to come in here with your face all bit up. Did I see that? Okay, we're just going to take questions now. Joyce, go ahead. You had a raccoon for a pet. How old was it before you ate it, before you killed it and ate it? No, I'm just kidding. Oh, that's too far. Everybody get out of here. God bless America. You guys are all like, ugh. Okay. This has went off the rails. What was I talking about? Guard your eyes. Change your algorithm, man. Change your algorithm. Start searching other stuff. Do it intentionally if you need to. Come on, somebody. And along with guarding our eyes, I know we said this in Scripture, but specifically guard your heart. Don't let your emotions carry you somewhere that you don't want to go, that God hasn't planned for your life. Amen? The Bible says that your heart is deceitful above all things in Jeremiah. That's why Solomon in his wisdom in Proverbs encourages us to guard your hearts. Solomon again writes Song of Solomon. Don't awaken love until the time is right. Okay? You can let your emotions take you to a place and get you way off the created plan that God had for you. Now, God in his love and his mercy can redeem us and will bring us back, but it will come, at some point we're gonna have to get that in check and let the Holy Spirit take control of that. Amen? 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 Amen. Is this good today? You guys with me? I know it's a little different. I know we're not shouting and I'm not sweating too much and we're not going crazy. But we need some good practical things to help us with this, man. Listen, guard your heart. Married people, don't engage in a relationship that's gonna lead you away from your spouse. Amen. Amen. Let me just help you real quick. If you have to hide it, erase it, and private browser it and whatever else, that's a big red flag that you're into something you don't need to be. Amen. Those same rules apply when we're single too. Listen, to guard your heart, single people, if you are not close to a place in your life, if you are not anywhere close where you are ready to handle the responsibility of a marriage, and I mean you have like a decent job, you're paying your bills, you don't necessarily have to be out of your parents' house yet, but you're taking care of yourself, you're making a living, whatever, those are the kind of things you're ready to handle that, you're ready to have a kid, you're ready to handle that responsibility. If you're not ready for those things, then don't get involved in a serious relationship. Because you're either going to force yourself into a position where you have to take on a lot more responsibility than you're ready for, or you're going to have your heart broken and you're going to be all messed up emotionally and spiritually and everything else when that thing doesn't play its course. Amen? Which is why the scripture here, guard your heart, do not awaken love until the time is right. Guard your heart is the why? Because if you open your heart up to that before it's the right time, you're going to be in a mess. Amen? Now, I know everybody in here, hey, myself included, I broke and have broken all of these rules, all these boundaries. God is faithful. God is graceful. Amen. I'm not saying you're going, I've done all this and I'm perfect. That's not the case. I'm able to talk about these boundaries because I have seen where I needed those boundaries in my life and where it messed us up. Amen, somebody? Last one, guard your eyes, guard your heart. Hey, we already talked about it. Guard your eyes also means guarding your thumbs. And here's what I mean. Guard your thumbs. Texting, sending pictures, sliding into the DMs, quit stalking. You don't need to search your old high school girlfriend if you're married. Men, okay? She's fat, okay? She gained a bunch of weight. She's not prettier than your current wife. You don't even have to worry about it. That was harsh. Okay, I'm sorry. trying to help. I'm trying to help you, man. Amen. Don't be sliding to nobody. You don't need to have a private Facebook message with your old high school girlfriend or boyfriend. What do you think is going to happen there? Amen, somebody? I'm not saying you communicate. There needs to be open. Hey, babe, so-and-so contacted me from Facebook. Pretty cool, huh? Look how much weight she's gained. You don't have anything to worry about. No, you know, it's whatever. Again, you have to delete. You have to private browse. You got pictures out there that you hope never see the light of day. Guard your thumbs, guys. Guard your thumbs. Amen? All this plays in this idea of we're waiting until the time is right. We're waiting until the time is right. Can I have 10 more minutes? Can I have 10 more minutes today? I'm going to take 20, but I'm going to tell you 10. No, I'm going to get this done in 10 minutes. Listen to me. The time will be right at some point. Amen? When is the time right? Well, if we're a Christian and we're wanting to do this God's way and wanting to make this, here's the pattern I think we have to follow. In Genesis chapter 2, when God creates Adam and Eve, which is the first couple, and God creates the first marriage covenant between Adam and Eve, man and wife, the Bible says it this way. The Bible says that God created Eve from the rib of the Adam, caused Adam the man. Adam fell into a deep sleep, and then Adam woke up, and the Bible says this in Genesis chapter 2. You read this. It says that God brought Eve to Adam. Okay? Here's what I take away from that. The pattern that God really wants me to follow is that I need to allow God to be the one that's bringing my spouse into my life. There should be a sense that God brought us together. Amen? It shouldn't be Tinder that brought us together. It shouldn't be, and that's because we know what Tinder is, right? Tinder's just like a hookup app or whatever. If it's dating app, but there needs to be a sense that God made this thing happen. Amen? Come on, somebody. Well, I met my husband on Tinder, and we lived. Okay, God was graceful to you. Come on. Amen? There should be a sense that God brought that relationship together. And so my encouragement is let God bring the person that he has created for you into your life. And listen to me, single people real quick. I'm going to talk to married people about this in a minute, but single people, if you're in a relationship that you already know that person is not the one, as soon as you realize that, get out. Get out. Because the longer you wait, the longer you stay in it, the more those red flags become pink flags, and you don't see those flags no more at all. And then you just like, well, we've been together for 8 years. I guess we should go ahead and get married or whatever. And you knew 5-6 years ago that he really wasn't the person. Just get out. As soon as it's obvious, this ain't the one, that God did not bring this to me. I don't believe this is who God brought to me. Amen? Then quit. Get out. And if I have pre-sided that I am not going to give my heart away to someone that I know is not that person, then it'll be possible and be easy and I'll be able to get out and cut it. Amen? Okay. Let God bring the person. Hey, married folks, you may have gotten married and you're in a mess. Okay? I understand things happen. This is a judgment-free zone. Okay? I would say like Planet Fitness, but I hate Planet Fitness so much. But nobody's judging you here. I know things happen. The idea that Paul gives us in the New Testament is that if we are in a position, either when we got saved or we realize that we messed up, when we have made a marriage covenant before God, ideally, I understand it doesn't happen all the time. Ideally, we can stay in that. And the prayer then is this. So if you're in a place where you're like, man, I'm married to a non-Christian. I'm married to someone who doesn't love Jesus. I'm married. We don't even share the same values anymore. I've changed or whatever. I understand the habits. The encouragement that I would say, if you're trying to stay together and make it work, is this: then you need to pray and begin to ask God to make that the person that he or she is supposed to be. Amen. And you're going to do that not by, in fact, what Paul says specifically to wives, although I think it applies to both spouses, he says, wives, love your husbands, and in fact, be so loving and be so into that relationship that they will see God in you through your serving your spouse in that relationship. That's the wisdom there. Amen? Okay? And can God do that? Yes, God can do that, because God can do anything. Come on, somebody. Okay, the last thing. Four more minutes. I understand that we're talking about things, and I'm presenting to you God's best idea. Now, the unfortunate truth is that for many of us, myself included, at times in my life, I have fallen way short of God's best. That is my goal. And thankfully, Jesus in his mercy and grace makes up the difference when we fall short. Amen? In fact, sin, the Greek word for sin is the Greek word hamartia, and it simply translates to miss the mark. It means that God said, here's the target, and I shoot and hit somewhere else. Amen? So here's the thing. We've all probably done that. We've all missed the mark. There's this amazing scripture, okay? You guys, many of you have heard the story. It's one of the most famous stories that ever happened in Jesus' life. John chapter 8. John chapter 8 begins with this amazing, with this wild story. There's this wild scene. The Bible says that a bunch of religious leaders and men, the Bible says they caught a woman in adultery and they drug the woman to Jesus. And there was a big crowd of men that were ready to stone her. One part about that story that always stands out is it's wild that these religious men somehow didn't grab the man too. It was only the woman that was in sin. That's pretty messed up, right? But that's the culture. That was the time. And that's, you know what, religion, when our good works are just full of religious tradition, all kinds of things get tweaked and whacked out. And you guys probably know the story. The Bible says this mob drags this woman who was caught in the act of adultery to Jesus' feet. And they all have stones and they're ready for Jesus to pass judgment. They say, Jesus, teacher, we know that you're a good teacher. We know that you follow the law. This woman was caught in adultery. Let's go. What are we going to do? You guys know the story. The Bible says Jesus calmly sits down and begins to write something in the dirt. We don't know what he says. Many people have given ideas on it. The reality is we have no idea what he wrote in the dirt. But then he stood up to the mob. And he said, let him who is without sin cast the first stone. Let he who is without sin cast the stone. Let me just read this. And then in John 8:7 is where I'm going to pick this up and read a couple of verses. It says, they kept demanding an answer, so he stood up again and said, all right, but let the one who has never sinned throw the first stone. And then he stooped down again and wrote in the dust. And when the accusers heard this, they slipped away one by one, beginning with the oldest, until only Jesus was left in the middle of the crowd with the woman. In verse 10, it says, then Jesus stood up again and said to the woman, where are your accusers? Didn't even one of them condemn you? No, Lord, she said. And Jesus said, neither do I. Go and sin no more. Now, there's so many amazing things about that interaction and about that moment. A couple of them I want to point out real quickly as we end this series, seek to allow God to begin to instill and strengthen our weak areas. But I want us to remember this too. First of all, this is adultery. I mean, when you say the word sin, this is probably one of the top three that pops into people's minds, right? Murder, stealing, addiction, adultery, fornication. Those are like, whoo, the big ones. Isn't it wild? It always blows my mind when I read a text like this. Isn't it wild that Jesus doesn't flip out about the things that we often flip out about? I mean, you expect Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God, God in the flesh, to be like, oh, yeah, this isn't terrible. We got to... No, no. He just sits down, scribbles in the dust. And then he says this. He says, you have permission to throw the stone as long as you are without sin yourself. And every one of them realized, well, I don't fit the qualification. Here's the thing. There was one person in that story that did fit the parameters, that if he wanted to, could have picked up stones and threw them. And that was Jesus. And I think it's really important for me to understand and for you to understand. Listen, don't miss this. The only person with the legal right to throw stones chooses not to. Amen? And I've got good news for you today. No matter how many of these boundaries you've messed up, no matter how many times this order has gotten flipped up in your life, no matter what the temptation is, no matter how many times we've had our legs swept out from under us, no matter how many times we've failed and screwed up, I want you to know something. I don't care what you may have faced from probably well-meaning people that just want, I don't care what you've heard or what kind of shame or condemnation. I want you to understand something. The only one who has a legal right to throw a stone is Jesus. And just like Jesus chooses not to for this woman 2,000 years ago, that's the same thing he's doing for you and me today in our shortcomings and our failures. Amen, somebody? I got good news for you. The only person that really could throw the stone has chosen to drop the stone and said, I forgive you. Now go and sin no more. Amen? And here's the real reality. This is what I want to carry. This is what we're going to end here today. Many of us, let me say this about Justin. Justin Bradley doesn't often need people throwing stones at him because Justin Bradley is pretty good at throwing stones at himself. Amen? I wake up and look in the mirror just about every day, and if I wanted to, I could find some rocks to throw at Justin Bradley. Amen, somebody? And I just want to encourage somebody else today, listen, drop the stones that you're throwing at yourself, man. Amen? Drop the stones. Drop the stones. And if you're sitting here today with judgmentalism and whatever you want to call it, and we're judging other people and looking at them and look at that and look at this, man, I don't care. Drop the stones. And the reason that I'm going to drop the stones in my life, whether they're aimed at you, but they're almost always aimed at me, the reason I'm doing that is because Jesus dropped the stones. Amen, somebody? And we always talk about that. Well, you're supposed to go and sin no more. Yeah, I can't go and sin no more until I first let go of the stones that I'm throwing at my life. Amen? And for some of us, the reason that we keep on tripping up and we keep getting our legs swept and we haven't experienced Jesus bringing strength to our weaknesses yet, and we continue to have our temptation hit us right at our weakest point, is because we just keep throwing stones at the thing that already hurts. We keep throwing stones at the thing that's already broken. We keep throwing stones at the thing that's already weak. We keep throwing stones at the thing that's already fractured. And in the name of Jesus, sons and daughters of God, I implore you, I encourage you, take Jesus' character upon us today and drop the stones in Jesus' name. Drop the stones, and then we can go and sin no more. Amen. Will you stand me all over this place this morning? And if you can, I'm going to ask you just to close your eyes for a moment. Just as a way to focus and just kind of block out any distractions that we can. Just allow the Holy Spirit to speak to us personally. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I believe every single person within the sound of my voice, if we cut away all the facade, cut away all the, you know, whatever, pride, image, whatever we're trying to do, I believe if we were really honest, in just an honest moment, we would probably all say, you know what, God, if you have a better way for my life than I have for myself, I want that. I believe all of us, Lord, have that desire somewhere, whether we've tapped into it yet or not. Lord, if that's something that we need to tap into, Lord, if that's something, I ask you right now to begin to awaken that inside of somebody right now today in Jesus' name. I really sense that in my heart for somebody right now. What the Lord really wants to do for somebody right now is to just awaken his desire, his plan, his purpose, specifically in this area of love, of sexuality. Lord, I ask you to do that right now in Jesus' name. That bears witness to you. That speaks to you, man. I'm not going to call you down front or embarrass you, man, but I would just encourage you just to take a moment, man. Just begin to pray. Just begin to make that your prayer. God, awaken your desire in me. Awaken your desire in me, Lord. Shape my heart to line up with your heart. Help me to want what you want more than what I want. In Jesus' name. Lord, if that's the desire of our heart, God, you have such amazing plans for our lives in all areas and facets and dimensions of our life, Lord. God, you want us to have, there is the person that you've created us to spend our life with. You've created us to express ourselves in love and romance and in sexuality with God. Lord, I pray that God, we would honor your boundaries, that we would surrender to your boundaries that strengthen our weak areas in Jesus' name. And Lord, anywhere where we're holding stones or throwing stones, Lord, I pray that you will let us know and that we will see you, King of Glory, choosing not to throw the stones that we're picking up in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Will you pray this with me real quick? Just repeat this prayer after me. I just want to lead us in prayer for a second and just ask Jesus to strengthen us wherever we're weak. Can we do that today? Come on, pray. Say, Jesus, every place that I'm weak, every place where I'm being tempted, strengthen me, Lord. Help me to surrender to your boundaries that make me strong. In Jesus' name. Stretch your hands this way. Receive this blessing from the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine upon you. And the Lord give you peace in Jesus' name. Lord, strengthen us where we're weak. Let us drop the stones where we're throwing them. Let us experience your best in these areas of our lives. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Your name is power. Your name is healing. Your name is life. Shine through the shadows.